not intoxicated, could not explain his nudity.
You be cool.
Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
Austin, Texas.
Podcast hosted by Bruce and Steve.
Hey, now it's ready. We are live. Hey, look at that. We're live on April 10th. See, I can't even get the month straight. That's how fast it's going. March 10th, 2024. This is episode 73 of Slurp Toast, a podcast. I need to go over here and go live on Instagram for the next hour. There we go. Click that button. And now we're live on all the platforms. And ready to do what we do. Yeah.
Okay.
So whatever that is, we're going to do it. So before I hit go live here on the old StreamYard, we were talking about how April is a month of Mondays. And I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah. It's just been, it's just been one long Monday. And every day you think, today I'll be better. You get about 20 minutes in and the bottom drops out.
Yeah, I agree.
I got to figure out the lighting. I look grayed out across the board.
I will tell you, I got this stupid little ring light as a white elephant two Christmases ago, and I finally figured out the right lighting for my pasty complexion. So I think
nice.
I think I look it's a little bluer than I have been using, and I think it's working.
No, I just look like a sepia.
Well, at least you're not cyan, because that would be bad.
At least I'm not cyan, yeah.
Be a bad sign. So, were you in the path of totality on Monday? Let's talk about that first.
All right, we'll talk about that. No, was not. We had like 90%, so it just kind of got dim.
It's like and, turning out the lights at the night at a bar. Just kind of flickered on and off.
Except, yeah, they were on a dimmer. They're just like, whoa. And everyone's like, oh, shit, we got to go home. And then they've already left. They, well, let's clean up now. something like that. But over the weekend, we were in Southern Illinois, not for the best of reasons. We had to attend a funeral.
Oh, no. Grandma?
Yeah, grandma, great. 104.
Wow. That's a good run.
As I posted to the team, it's like, I will not be here. I'm attending a funeral. My wife's grandmother passed away at 104. Yes, I know. Too soon, too young. Yes. I always find that interesting. You know, it's like, oh, how old was she? 104. It's like, yeah, good luck. You're doing the math, trying to figure out how many years you have left. And,
right. I stopped doing that. I don't.
Wow. Turned out to be a lot more than you thought, didn't it, big guy? but no, they were going to be in the totality. They were going to be in the zone. Not while we were there, but it made getting or finding hotel rooms pretty difficult.
Oh, I imagine so. Yeah.
Now we found a bed and breakfast. This is amazing. Found a bed and breakfast in the town where her parents live. And, it was actually nice. It slept like 10 people, huge kitchen, huge living room. We were able to host a cousin's party where all the cousins from all over the place were able to come in and hang out. So it was kind of nice. I know three of them, but other than that, it was okay.
You know, I think I know three of my cousins, so it's okay. And I have many.
Do you know that one? No. God.
Say John or Bill. You're probably safe, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But it was actually kind of quaint, kind of nice. I am on track. I am two weddings short from a feature film.
Oh, you're going for your Hugh Grant year?
I'm going
for
the four. I'm going to go the total Hugh Grant.
I'm making a note.
I'm going the full Hugh Grant. Yeah, never go full Grant. But anyway. Well, yes, I'd be quite charming and bumbling and charming. And
You have to get your hair a little more floppy than
it. I get a little bit more floppy. Yeah. We could pull that off.
You could definitely pull off a Hugh Grant year.
I could pull off. Yes. Just kind of mumble through and stumble. Yes. Yes. Little puppy dogish. But my niece got married, and right. then we hosted a wedding in the building, and I had to babysit it.
I remember that. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, okay. You're 3/5 of the way there. That's 60%.
I'm 2 weddings short, man. So if anybody out there needs a guest.
You're also a reverend. I mean, you could always officiate.
Yeah. So if anybody's been drinking and wants to make it real before everybody sobers up, I can make that happen too.
Look at that. You're a man of the people.
Man of the cloth, man of the people. You know, I was sitting with a sales rep. I told him that about the podcasting. And so he pulls him up. And he's like calling out the titles. He's like, what's this one? Not Enough Bleach. I'm like, I have no idea. Because what about this one? There was like Paul Bunyan, the original Lumber Mech. Yes. I go, that's a good one. That's yes. a fun one.
I listened to that one the other day. I occasionally will pull one up just for quality control, right? And I did that the other day. I listened to Lumber Mech, and I think that's the one that had, I think that's the one that has Mayberry RIP on it too. So that was a really good one. That's one of our best.
Well, that's the thing. He goes, which one is some of your best ones? And I'm like, oh, God. And I go, let's show me the titles. And so he starts showing me the titles. I'm like, yeah, I have no idea. I appreciate John Cena. Nah, I have no idea. Like one of those, we do a thing where like we do Sid and Marty Krofft. There might have been dueling Paul Lynn impersonations at some point. He goes, so it's like a passion project. I turned him on to the comedy one where we're okay. talking about all the comedians.
Yeah.
He's like, why? What's that? I go, that's actually, that would show the breadth of our pop culture knowledge, and that, you know, that we talk about dumb stuff smartly.
Actually, I think that's our brand.
Dumb stuff smart.
I'm writing that down because maybe you start using that for marketing purposes.
Oh, dumb stuff smart. That might be. I want to make a t-shirt for the Social Media School of Expertise. And I keep trying to figure out the motto, you know, self-guided. Get your advanced degree in as little as 30 minutes. Win any internet argument instantly.
Like to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
Follow to achieve.
Kind of like to graduate. smash the like. Yeah. Yeah.
Subscribe for your advanced degree. Yeah.
Subscribe to you.
Can I suggest a thumbs up with a tassel hanging off the back of it?
Oh, that's brilliant. Oh, shit. Yeah. Where's a piece of paper to write that down? I won't remember this.
I'm writing thumbs up with a tassel.
Okay. There we go.
I'll help you remember. All right. So anyway, so you.
I like that. The Social Media School. Smash like to graduate.
That's it. That's it right there. That's in your little banner below the thumb.
Smash like to graduate.
The little flowy banner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll translate it to Latin though.
There you go.
Pig Latin. Ashme. Mashe. Humfe. To graduate.
I think that's really funny, actually. Translated into Pig Latin is very funny, actually.
So what is it? Smash to graduate?
Yeah, smash to graduate. Smash like to graduate.
Graduate. There we go. Smash like to graduate. You know, one of those guys in France is going to beat us to it.
Yeah, well. We have a timestamp on this, so
there we go. And I hit the guy with trebuchet. And I was like, yes. I goes, what does that mean? I go, it's French. It means really good. He's thinking about it. He goes, are you sure that's not a catapult? I was like, really?
Well, okay, he got it. So that's good. You should buy from this guy, dude. Yeah. You're doing well, sales guy.
So yeah.
He got your joke, man.
There we go. Yeah. So, but yeah, he's like showing me the titles. And I mean, I am just clueless. And then he's like, well, what about he reads the description. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. The way I do it is the title's there. I put a little intro paragraph and I just list the things that I'm making notes of, and like bullet points. Because okay, I can't go back and flesh it out any more than that. It's fun than that.
No fun at all. But no, I did hook him up with the transformative comedy. I go, that one is a fun one because, yeah, we're all over the map with that. So what does that mean? You know, and I was like, yeah, you know, we thought Joan Rivers was transformative. And we thought Richard Pryor was transformative. Nah, nah, nah. So it was a good time.
Yeah. I was just looking here to see, my notes don't help me much either. So they're really just bullet points as we talk. Cause it's all I do. Yeah. Okay. Never
yeah. Mind. The titles were absolutely meaningless. And it's like, damn, I was there.
I go, I tell you what I'm going to use in the moment.
No. I mean, we know, but it's like you so much kind of passes along. Cause you're like, yeah, that's the hoops and yo-yo one or Holmes and yo-yo.
And you know, it's like, really funny because when I do the website and I put them in there, it's got a function to it that'll tell you, hey, you can punch up your post by doing X, Y, and Z, right?
Oh, okay. Tagging, you know,
and stuff. And I usually do about 80% of it because one of the things it never likes is our titles because you have to pick a keyword, right? And then the keyword, the trick is where does the keyword, right? Is it in the title or is it in one of the bullet points down the line? I mean, so it's a juggling act, right? So I either get the bonus points for the title or the bonus points for the body of the thing. Cause it's never both. It's never both.
Yeah. Yes. Lumber mech was another one.
Lumber mech is good.
Yeah. Cause what's that? I go, that's where three or five small lumberjacks combine to make a giant Paul Bunyan mech. You know, he's got like that laser axe. He blows a horn, you know, he comes up like out of the waters of Lake Superior. It's cool as hell.
and you can tell them apart by the color of their suspenders and their socks.
They're
all dressed the same except for the suspenders and socks. I did listen to that one recently. I remember the payoff.
That was a fun one.
It was. Yeah. Go back and listen to that. From? That yeah. was episode. Let's Not see, episode ago. 68. If you're listening at home and you didn't hear that the first time,
or France.
Bonsoir.
Trey Boucher, amigos.
He's trying to start a civil war over there. What are you doing?
No, I was, you know, mentioning that one of my life goals was to use that often enough that maybe one day my daughter, 30 years down the line, is in a store and somebody would say, oh, yeah, Trey Boucher, amigo, or, you know, use it like that. And then she'd just be like, oh, goddamn, dad. Oh, she won her bracket. Get this. What? She had an NCAA bracket and won it.
Nice.
How did you pull that off? You don't watch basketball. She goes, I picked all the teams I knew. I was like, well, it's a good thing the favorites won.
You know, that's the thing about bracketology. How much did she win, first of all?
It was in a stats class. It was just for fun. So I think she got a $20 Amazon gift card.
All right. $20 is $20.
Yeah.
I mean, normally you're better than not to just pick the favorites, right? I mean, yeah, there's upsets. It's rare that somebody gets it all right, but, you know.
Yeah, because hopefully by the time you get down to like eight, you're down to your top, you know, five or six teams. So, you know,
it's interesting that the statistics professor did that as an exercise. I think that's kind of cool.
So, and she said that the TA ran it and
under the table. Was it not an official assignment?
No, it was an official assignment just for fun. But apparently he picked a bracket and just cratered. And then they ran like a statistical model, and those brackets actually did quite well. So
interesting.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, you know, I after a couple of seasons back in my insane fantasy baseball life, after a few years of picking with my heart, I realized that wasn't working.
So you went to Moneyball?
I totally Moneyballed it, man. And I won 7 years in a row.
Oh my God. Found the efficiencies.
I found an article in one of the magazines that suggested this might work, that some people had some luck with it. So essentially what I would do was the magazine would have a spreadsheet with like 3 year averages, which is a pretty good spread for baseball. Right. At least for my purposes. And then I would break it out, put a tab for each position, right? Rank them against the four categories that we used. and then sort that page by top to bottom numbers, right? And then I would combine the list for all the positions.
Oh,
man. And sort it. And so it was weird when you would then throw the pitchers in with the position players, right? Because then you started seeing weird things happen. But it got to the point where I had mined the information enough to build up my young guys that I was bringing along at a cheaper rate, like Gagne when I got him for a dollar. And so he would cost me like a dollar more every year. So, you know, he'd go from like one, like rookie year, I got him for a dollar. The next year, he was like $26, and I had him for two.
Oh, so
there's where the efficiency comes in, right? Because then you build that in to pad your salary cap. Then you can go after those guys that, you know, are at the top of the list that are expensive, but the numbers say that's the guy you need this year. Like one year, I literally had like it was my one and two guys, and I of course then I have the last pick in the first round, right? So you got to make that count, right? So I was like, shit, I forgot who the guy with the Astros was. One of their outfielders and Lance Berkman, and I was a huge Lance Berkman fan. But the other guy on my spreadsheet was Frank Dyer, and I went, well, okay. Head or heart, we're going with the guy that the head says, and it was the right call because Berkman got hurt, and yeah. So yeah, I could do that. It was a big day for me every year when that magazine came out, and I could download my spreadsheet. Laura was like, "You are so weird,"
but you know that's it works.
It does.
Yeah, I think once you eliminate homerism from like fantasy drafts.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're like, oh, I'm going to load up on Chiefs players. It's like, outside of Travis and Pat, no. you just then I think you see things a little bit more clear-eyed.
Yeah, well, and I was able to, like, take that same methodology and apply it to fantasy football, and I had, like, zero homerism going there, right? And I became the only person to ever win both leagues.
Nice.
In the same year, and I did it twice, back-to-back years. I won for 2 years. I won everything. There's a title belt in that safe over there that I bought with my winnings, and I used to wear to the draft after that. Bam. like a legit, like, metal title belt. Like it's
boom. I am the man.
After I won it, because we were, like, 10 or 11 years in at that point when I won the first back-to-back, and I'm like, oh, no one's done this. Okay. Time to strut my shit.
Now, speaking of belts, I finally saw Iron Claw.
Oh, and what'd you think?
I think it was hard to reconcile timelines for me.
Well, they were all over the place.
Because you're like, wait a minute, Carrie, when was the motorcycle? You know,
that was way late. Yeah, that was the one that jumped off the page.
Was the motorcycle accident was like. He was in WWF.
Yeah. He didn't like lose his foot the night he won the title. No.
Yeah. That's the part that was throwing me. Cause I'm like, wait a minute, that event is later. And you know, just, you know, what an awful. All right. Was Fritz that he comes across as a terrible parent?
I don't think that's inaccurate.
Okay.
I think that's fairly straightforward. Mm-hmm. The guy that was Flair was terrible.
There's moments where you're like, hey, that works. And you're like, hey, that's Billy Zane.
Well, the guy that was playing Flair sounded more like Dusty than he did Flair, right? To me,
yeah,
it was like,
yeah.
He had more of a wave than the Flair. But the biggest problem for me was I liked the actors they cast, but I think they miscast some of the actors. Because Zac Efron was far too big to be Kevin. And Jeremy Allen White was far too small to be Carrie.
No, but he looked like Carrie.
Yeah, agreed. And I thought the guy that they had as David was really good. Yes, I thought he might have actually been the best of the bunch as far as casting went.
Uh-huh.
I
came out of it feeling horrible for Mike.
Oh, God, yes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the one I felt sorry for was Chris. They left him out completely.
Yeah, the brittle one.
Yeah, the littlest one. They didn't even put him in the fucking movie. They just wiped him out. I'm like,
no, if you're going to do the tragedy, by God, you know, pile on.
And it was the quote was something
throw
like
them all in the ring.
Yeah, the quote was something like, well, we just didn't think people would believe that it happened again. And I'm like, oh no. It happened again. A lot of us lived it. And
you're right. It was hard to believe. It was like, wait, is this a repeat?
Right. I'm just, did they just get the wrong name in here?
Yeah. So, I mean, the timeline, I found the timeline jarring because yeah. I couldn't jibe it with what I knew.
Right. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. I had the same problem,
you know, cause it's just like, that doesn't make sense. Why did the drugs are later, you know, and you know, the tragedy was strung out longer. But no, Fritz, I did not think came off well.
Neither did the mom, quite frankly.
No, the mom didn't come out smelling like a rose either. I know that they kind of, you know, sort of touched on Bruiser Brody, but you're watching that going, wait a minute, if he was in Japan when David dies and then he gets shanked in Puerto Rico, is that related? You know,
right?
Yeah.
You know, well, and I mean, they touched briefly on Gino Hernandez, who, you know, died of a cocaine overdose or was, you know, murdered with a cocaine overdose, depending on whose version of the story you believe. Mm-hmm. And he was only like that one scene where he and Bruiser were telling Kevin, or it was Kevin or Kerry, I forget now, you know, what they were going to do. I'm like, and that's the last time you see him, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And it did whitewash a lot of things. The David thing being one of the big ones, right? Mm-hmm. And it very much sanitized their behavior, because when I used to go to that church camp in San Antonio, and we were in high school, there were people there from Denton, and there was the Von Erichs owned a house that was exclusively for their parties. Like,
oh,
they owned a party house, and that's where all the shit went down. So that's not mentioned in the movie, but I had firsthand accounts of like partying with the Von Erichs. So, you
know, yeah. And that was the thing. It's a terrible story, really.
Right.
And nobody comes out of it. I mean, you know, Kevin kind of does. I mean, he comes out of it.
Right. He's the
last man, right? Standing. Yeah. He gets all the belts. But yeah, it just kind of, I don't know.
It was hard to watch that much in that compressed time frame, you know? I thought it might have been more interesting. I enjoyed the movie, but I thought it might have been a more interesting, like, television miniseries, you know, where they could have elaborated a little bit, maybe given some of those other characters a little more room to breathe, right? Because they largely glossed over the Freebirds, and I don't think you can tell the Von Erich story without really talking about the Freebirds.
I would give you, yeah, absolutely. And then it just was kind of like, I mean, whose story was it? Is it Kevin's because he's the last man standing? Is it the family as a whole? In which case, you kind of sold everybody short by not really kind of expanding, you know, by compressing the timeline.
Yeah,
you kind of cut, you know, because it's like David is the one who had all the talent, was good on the mic. Well, you're kind of introduced to Kevin first, so
right,
you don't see David as the star, you just see David as kind of this interloper, you know. I didn't feel like I got the impact of like them on each other.
That's fair. I think it was a lot of hurry up and tee up the next tragedy. It's kind of in that time. No, I mean, I just now thought that while you were talking through it.
Uh-huh.
But in that short span of time, that's really, if you're going to get all that in, that's all you can do. You set the table and then you start knocking them off. It's really all it is.
Yes.
I mean, and unfortunately, that's the story, right? I mean,
more or less over the course of what, 6 years?
There was an older brother, older than Kevin, even, who died as a child, and they like sort of barely mentioned that, right?
He gets more airtime than Chris.
Yeah, Chris just doesn't even exist in that universe.
No, because when you look it up and you're like the last surviving of six boys, you're just like, holy shit!
Yeah,
how is he not addicted to something?
I don't know.
He's apparently doing well in Hawaii. So
he owns, I believe he owns like a macadamia farm. And he just, and like his kids are wrestling. The two little boys are wrestlers now. And so he's bought some land back in Texas so he can commute, so he can be around. But yeah, I don't know. I think if I were either of those boys, I would look to anything else based on the family history. But, you know, that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
So anyway, yeah, I did watch it, and you know, it just it was very hard to reconcile with the known timeline.
Agreed. It's like
you're right. If somebody came into it without knowing it, they'd be like, "Really? All the kids are dead?" And you're like, "Yeah, really?
Yeah, all the kids are dead. All of them. Yeah, except for Zac Efron. Everybody dies. Yes."
Everyone dies in the end. Yes.
I took the boys to see that when it came out, and they were like, "That's not right." And no, that's exactly how it happened. Oh, and the other thing was they shot scenes with MJF playing Lance, the fake Von Erich, right? And those largely were cut out of the movie. Yeah. He was in it for like 2 seconds in one of the montage scenes.
Oh,
and okay. Then it's completely cut out of the movie. So that was weird to me. They went to all that trouble. I did like the Tom Sawyer montage.
Yeah.
Because I had totally forgotten to warn the boys about the music part. And one of their questions was, what was the deal with Tom Sawyer? And I'm like, well, that was Carrie's entrance music. And it was very fucking cool back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they really, that was the other thing. It's like, you need to kind of put the Von Erichs, the whole WCWW or, you know, into some sort of perspective. Cause that's kind of a story in and of itself. It's those guys building up that property. Cause I mean, you know, we'd watch it religiously. It's like, let's do WCW, a little Mid-South, and then we'll finish up, cleanse the palate with a little All-Star Georgia.
Oh yeah. I mean, that promotion was
huge. Rock and roll over the top. Just excitement, glitz, glam.
Good guys and bad guys, and just that Texas mentality of we're coming at you, right? It was, we're putting it all out there, and yeah,
with feud with the Freebirds and all that other stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point I hadn't thought about, but yeah, it needed a bigger canvas, right? It needed some of the other. I guess the answer to your question from earlier is, it is the family story, right? I guess that's what they were. That's what they ultimately did, rather than the promotion story, which would also make a very interesting movie.
Well, because I think you could do both. Because, yeah. I mean, the family was the Von Erichs were the promotion. The promotion was the Von Erichs, and that go, you know, hey, let's do a whole bunch of cocaine to mask the pain from, you know, throwing ourselves all over the ring. You know, fuels the tragedy.
Yeah.
I think it all plays off. And anyway, don't always get what you want, kids.
And father does not always know best. That's the other lesson here.
I was robbed of a title. You boys are going to bring it home for me. I was like, okay, see, that to me is like, that should be explored.
Right?
Yeah. Right? You know, what drove dad to drive the kids to drive them all off a cliff?
I mean, the things that we still don't know to this day, like, did David actually die of, like, intestinal?
Yeah.
Or did he just OD, which was what everyone thinks. And then in that case, if he did, as the urban legend goes, did Brody find him and flush the drugs before he called the authorities? There's a story there that we're never going to get, right? Because the only two people who probably know are dead.
Exactly. So,
and the rest of it was all a cover to save the Von Erich name. So, yeah. Now you got me like conspiracizing in my head about Brody getting shanked in Puerto Rico. Did Fritz order a hit? Is that what you're suggesting?
Or did, you know, just somebody else from the promotion just, you son of a bitch. Ah! You killed David.
I think a Bruiser Brody, something about him would be very interesting, because the dude was incredibly smart. Like, if you read anything about him or see anything about him, like, his outside of the ring persona was like 180 degrees from his in-ring persona. He was smart. He was educated. He was a very peaceful guy. He was a family guy. And then he goes into the ring and turns into the monster that we all knew and loved. There's a story there, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's got your tragic ending and your titles that roll after that, you know, No one was ever brought to justice.
As he bleeds out of the Puerto Rican locker room.
Yeah, no one was ever brought to trial or to justice for the murder. Yeah, so there's a story there too.
Someone flushed the knife.
Carlos Colon, maybe involved, maybe not. Anyway, so that's our wrestling chunk for the evening.
I tried watching X-Men 97.
I'm sorry.
I know.
See, I never watched. I watched a few episodes of the original, and I didn't like the original, so I haven't even bothered to queue it up.
It suffers. Watching the kids with the nostalgia factor, you know, it's like, come on, man. I've gone back and look at stuff that I was like head over heels in love with as a kid. And you're just like, ooh, wow, this is really bad.
That's about 90% of our podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. It's really, yeah, it's making fun of the shit we loved.
Yeah.
But you know, I know there's a bunch of people who are huge X-Men fans. They love the cartoon. And, you know, it's like, oh, look, the Beast is talking in cliched smart talk, like using big words and let me elucidate over my indigo hue appearance.
Ah.
They're like, oh, just say, yeah, you're freaked out because I'm blue. Got it.
I loved the Beast so much more when he was just a happy swinging pheromone monster.
Yeah, exactly. Then they make him like the de facto brains of the operation and
turn him into a cat. Apparently, in the most recent run, they turned him into a villain and
heel turn.
Yeah, for the Beast. Nice.
But
I can't figure out the chronology to try to even figure that out. I've looked to try and figure it out, and I can't. So
and like Magneto talks in stilted villain talk. I shall be the blah blah blah. You're just like ugh.
Yeah.
The one thing I thought was cool was that and I was certainly of this opinion, is that Cyclops fired laser beams out of his eyes, right?
Sure.
And they make it very clear that they are not like laser beams, but concussive force blasts. And so he is, wait a minute, so there's like a fight sequence where he's like blasting the floor to throw himself out of harm's way. Like he blasts the floor and falls back, you know.
Shoots backwards.
Shoots backwards, yeah. And he's doing stuff like that, and you're like, okay, I'll give him credit. They made Cyclops cool.
That is not an easy feat.
That's a heavy lift.
Yeah. That's a personal best is what that is.
Yeah, because, yeah, you're like, normally he's such a wet blanket, but now he's kind of cool. He does this really cool shit with his eyes. They're doing the Madeline Pryor storyline.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know.
So we got the clone and bondage gear for the kids?
Yes. Not yet. I haven't seen. I like watched the first episode and a half, and I was like, "Oh wait, that's the witch, the demon goblin witch, whatever the fuck, the goblin queen. Cool." Next. Then I never watched another episode.
Goblin queen.
Yeah, come on, Beast. That should be up your alley. You know, Wolverine is written like, you know, I'm a tough guy. Rawr. You know, where you can see the actor like hunched over the microphone, scrunched face, you know, talking out the side of his Popeye mouth. You know, rawr, rawr, rawr,
rawr. God, that's too funny.
Oh, yeah. Let's go drink it and then bust up some punks. Rawr, you know.
A.
A. That hurt.
Oh, Jesus. You all right?
Yeah.
I remember watching it when it was on a little bit, but it was like we had either Batman the Animated Series had just ended or was coming to an end, right? And JLA was on, and that was so much better.
Oh, a night and day better. The animation was slicker and stylized. It's like all those 80s anime, it's like, okay, so it's like Ruby Spears 2.0 still sucks.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, you've added the shadow line on all your animation. It still sucks because you watch Batman where everything's slick and stylized and JLA, where again, everything's slick and stylized. The animation isn't like lumpy, like we try to draw anatomy. It's like, nope, that dude's a straight V chest. It's a shoulder to the penis, straight line, zing, you know. Even shoulder, the chicks, even the
shoulder
chicks,
to penis,
shoulder to penis, straight line. There you go. Yeah, that'll be the name of the show. Then I explain that. What does shoulder to the penis mean? Well, you know, you'll have to listen and find out. I am going to say you're going to be disappointed. But you know what I'm saying?
It's a triangle with arms. Yeah, I got you. I'm with you.
Yeah, everything is very geometric. But very stylized and very slick. And then you watch X-Men and you're like, the music is terrible, the writing is terrible. Bump, bump, and I'm watching guys online and some of these Facebook groups are like, oh man, it's a bag, it's better than ever. And it's like, I could not have been that high a bar to clear.
Yeah. It's funny though, when you think about the time frame when that was on and what the comics were at that time. And it's just,
yeah,
I'm like, the disconnect there, because that was like prime line guy time, right?
Yeah, line guy time, everything was Deathstroke, bone bruise or blood bruise, and you know, that
gun,
was
it. Gun slab.
Gun slab. Gun slap and bone bruise. Yeah. Just gray monolithic guy with a gun. It's like, you should seriously be the strongest member of your team. I am. It's why I carry the biggest gun.
That's the dialogue right there. Yep.
Yeah. Let me hunch over the microphone to voice gun slap. Bone Bruise would be the one to be like, hey, blah, 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 Bone Bruise, my buddy Gunslab. Gunslab and Bone Bruise.
Yes, I'm writing it down. Because that's too good not to write down.
Oh, no. That should be an 80s comic, Bone Bruise and Gunslab.
It's an Image comic.
It's an Image comic. It goes for an issue and a half.
It's the same
regularity that Boston releases albums. Bone Bruise number one, 6 years later. Bone Bruise number two, 11 years later.
The third chapter, the third and final installment of Gunslab and Bun Bruise. Bun Bruise. It's a whole different character.
Yes. And now they've updated it. They keep it, you know, so. Gunslab and Bone Bruise are now 80s bros. It's like a buddy comedy. Complete with horrible, horrible, you know, dialogue.
So we're applying the Quantum and Woody model now, are we?
Yes. Except it's Bone Bruise and Gunslab. He just looks like a magazine.
Yo, G-Slab.
Yo, G-Slab. What's up, B Bruise?
BB.
BB, my buddy. Yeah. MC Bone Bruise. So fly. All their hats are sideways.
Part of the new 52 now. All the way into the new 52.
So they have high collars.
Yes.
They have high collars, uniforms with fucking lines, weird lines. I think they're seams. Maybe it's armor. We're not sure. Jim's not telling.
Strange gloves. Underwear. And one guy has to have a backwards hat. Yes, that's true. Because that's all the characterization they get is the backwards hat.
This gun slab's wearing a backwards hat, a high collared thing, a bodysuit, a leotard with a belt.
You don't want it bunching up in the middle.
No, not at all. And carrying the biggest goddamn, you know, he's carrying a howitzer, basically. Exactly. The recoil should just shatter him.
But it can't because he's Gunslab.
Slab. The front cover is him, open mouth, with the big gun blasting away. Bone Bruise is in front of him with two little guns, you know.
Hunched over.
And
yeah. feral Jack Kirby pose.
The feral, but with guns. Or maybe like
maybe his tongue's out.
Yeah.
Okay, and just to finish this off, I know what Bone Bruiser's costume looks like.
Okay.
It's since, you know, Deadpool's ripoff, Deathstroke, we're going Deadpool ripoff, so it's going to be red with, like, purple accents for the bruising.
Oh, there we go.
Red and purple.
Only one black eye.
Blackish purple.
One eye that
one
looks
is,
like a shiner.
Swollen shut. Just a giant purple ball on one eye.
Yeah, with one split for the effect of the other.
He's got a hematoma on one eye.
And the other eye has like light beams coming out of it. Oh, shit. Oh, God.
We amuse ourselves, folks.
We do amuse ourselves. We wrote down all the stuff about our time guy, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't think I can find it, but I don't remember where it was. But yeah, I wrote it down somewhere.
Too.
Yeah, it was. Speaking of comics, I was going to had a couple of comic related things I was going to discuss.
Okay.
So where do you come down on Mark Millar? We've discussed him before, I know, but and I don't remember where you stand on him as a writer.
I think he's all right.
Yeah, that's where I am, too. So it's hit or miss for me. Sometimes I think he has a bigger vision than he's able to execute, right?
Okay.
Case in point, I had on the Hoopla app that I've talked about before where you can download the graphic novels, right, from the library. I had bookmarked his 2-volume run on Fantastic Four. I'm like, okay, that'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. All right, so I read him this week, and Brian Hitch was the artist.
Okay. Hitch is okay.
I like Hitch, but you know what? His style doesn't necessarily jibe with the Fantastic Four. I don't necessarily want the Fantastic Four to look so realistic.
Okay.
And then for some reason they decided to update the costumes and give them short sleeves and long gloves. It was weird. You don't fuck with that costume. That costume is classic. It's iconic. At least that's what I think. Yeah, he overextended himself on the storyline. It was okay at best, right?
Right.
So, and not a big fan of that. That's really all I had to say about that. But then
I'm looking up Brian Hitch right now. Just I'm not digging this for the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I just it needs more Kirby, more Waringo, more
Burn
Simonson, something with some oddity. I think the weird angles and things play good with Fantastic Four. And the straight line just doesn't really work. I don't know.
No, it needs more grandeur. Yeah.
Yeah, this is like...
I mean, maybe grandeur is the right word, but yeah, it needs more...
character.
Yeah. Distinctness.
Yeah, it just looked like... And this came out, I think... during or near the time of the Ultimate line. And I think that was what that was a, it was some of that, leaking into it, but, didn't really care for the storyline and the art bothered me. So it wasn't my favorite thing I've ever read. Certainly not one of my favorite Fantastic Four runs, but it was only like 11 issues long. I was like, what is going on? Did he just like have a break in his schedule and threw some issues together? I don't understand.
Well, I was going to write my Millerverse things, but I got some time.
I got to take a meeting on Kick-Ass 2, so let's throw this out there. and then the other thing I read it actually yesterday and today, answers the question, what if Grant Morrison were to write Hellboy? Haven't you always wanted to know what it would be like if Grant Morrison wrote Hellboy?
Yeah, a bunch of obscure references to old comics that nobody gets. Wait a minute, is that Animal Man in the background? What the fuck?
He's looking from
Doom Patrol?
He's looking in from the other panels. just lurking in the windows in the back of the panels.
Okay.
He did sometime in the, I don't remember what it was. We did like 7 Soldiers of Victory. He updated that concept. And it was, he did Frankenstein as one of them. And I remember when New 52 came out, so what they did was they took what Morrison had done, which was what Morrison does. It's an interesting idea. and then he got bored with it and went on to something else, right? So there's like seven or eight issues, and this,
but you're like, oh, these are really good. Then you're like, well, that's how it ends. Okay.
He thought of some other obscure character he wants to resurrect. But so this is a new omnibus they put out in anticipation of that upcoming Creature Commandos animated series, yeah, right? Yeah. So it's like the Grant Morrison run, and then the first few issues of the new 52 Frankenstein series. And that was when I realized, because I remember reading that when it came out, and it's so clearly, and that was Jeff Lemire writing that one.
Okay.
And it was, oh, I want to do Hellboy in the DCEU because it's like Frankenstein, and he's got a big sword, and he's got this big weird looking gun, and he's working for this mysterious agency, and there's literally an aquatic person on his team, like a gill monster on his team. Oh. And I'm like, really? Really? It's just like you just, they won't let you write Hellboy. Is that what it is? Because,
oh yeah, Agent of Shade.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, it's so, so new 52-y. Like the way that collection splits right in the middle, going from this Grant Morrison idea to then the bastardization of that idea for the new 52. It was jarring, to say the least.
Okay. Yeah, I'd made the sword a little bit more, I don't know. It's like he's got the gun from an A-10 warthog.
Well, on the close-ups, there's like on the, you know how Hellboy's got the giant gun, right?
Right, right.
And on the, when they do the close-ups, like of like over his shoulder firing, there's like a bat where the sight is on that thing. And it's,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I'm kind of looking into this stuff. Because I've never read it. The new 52, it just is like, oh, you've reset the whole universe except for, the Green Lantern titles.
That, right.
How convenient.
And Batman. And Batman.
How convenient.
Yeah. It was very, very self-aggrandizing, that was. And a terrible, terrible idea.
Okay, what do we got? Constantine, Dead Man, Frankenstein, four people I don't know. I guess they're shady.
One of them is the Bride of Frankenstein. She's got six arms. There's a werewolf. There's a vampire. Sweet. I don't know. There was a mummy. Okay.
So we're talking about six arms, right?
Yeah.
So Funko's done pops from the new X-Men 97.
Okay.
And they're like, we're doing Mojo and we're doing Spiral. And you're okay. Like, cool. And then because it's probably going to take place in a Mojo World video game style thing, it's all the 8-bit pixelated thing. And so you're just like, wow, yeah, missed the fucking boat. The 8-bit styles. Oh. And here are two characters that I have long shot. I would totally dig Spiral, Mojo. That weird goat head dude and that dog would be a great set of pops. Yes. Yes. Very 80s.
Oh, yeah.
What other hero could sport a mullet and get away with it?
The spiky Lamal mullet, even. The Kajagoogoo mullet.
Yes. He pulled it off, you know.
Well, you know why? He got lucky.
He got lucky, yeah.
See what I did there?
I see what you did there. And then he ran off with Dazzler, you know.
Right? And yeah. and birthed Shatterstar, apparently, I think.
Is that how that one works?
I think he's their kid. Yeah, I feel like I've read that somewhere.
Oh, wow. You're right. Frankenstein runs with the creature from...
Yeah.
Oh, it's a girl. So it's a she creature.
Yeah. So,
it's Abe Sapien. It's Ablet Sable Sapien.
Sable. I don't
Sable.
Know.
Abe Sable. Yeah. Abe Sable. I can't say that.
I don't know.
It's not coming out right.
You having another stroke? What's going on over there?
No. You don't taste burnt.
I'm not supposed to make fun of that, anyway. So.
No, I give some people license. We got new magnetic name tags at work.
Hmm.
And I didn't even think about it. I slapped it right over and it starts boop. I was like, well, that sounds ominous. It sounds like I flatlined. And the person across me is like, are you okay? I'm like, give it a second. It'll stop. And there we go. What I should have done is go, huh, it's beating again.
Yeah, that's an opportunity missed, my friend.
Yeah. Put that on, you know, because I've always threatened to, like, you know, be in a meeting and, like, put a magnet over it to set it off so that somebody has to, you know, I'll go out hunched over. Somebody has to walk out with me, and then I'll just go off to a bar and drink. Are you okay? Oh, my God. Oh, my arm, my left arm. I don't feel my left arm. My fingers, I don't feel them. Ah! No, I'm fine.
That's probably bad karma.
Yeah, you don't joke around that. Probably don't play that one
often. Yeah, yeah. You might do it once just to say you did it, but I don't think you play it more than once because that, like I said.
That's, yeah, you're going to get, yeah. If we had HR, I'd be talking to him.
I have a funny HR story. I just don't know if I can tell it. It's not related to me. It's a Laura HR story. And I don't know that I can tell it. I'll tell it to you off air.
Okay.
She might be listening. Anyway, all right then. So I think we've talked about it before, but you know they're doing like a cleat book, right? It's coming
out. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I've signed
it. Is it written by, what's his face?
Yep.
Okay.
So it'll be Cleat's version of the Boys in Butternut. And,
oh, that could be fun.
Yeah. I'm curious to see, how that comes off because
I was thinking Cleat mostly pulling Dave out of bars.
Nobleman. I'm with the Bobbsey twins from
the
first district from Homicide to mosey on down the road.
Yep.
I would be a funny exercise, and I'm going to come back to something else, but like an AI Robichaux novel. Feed all the previous novels into an AI and have it write a Robichaux novel. That would be hysterical, I think.
The whole thing is going to take place on the bayou with the Breen breeding in the background. Helen Swallow shows up and, yeah.
Yeah.
And Dave just like goes through wives like tissue paper. Every chapter, new wife.
He marries the Virgin Mary finally.
Hanging out at convents, you know. Just, hey.
I got a Dr. Peppers. You want to go?
Got Dr. Peppers. I got me a Dr. Nut. You want some? Darling?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the matter, girl? You got sand in your gears or something? You know? Robichaux doesn't smoke, but I kind of like the idea of him hanging out, you know, hitting on convent girls.
I know a nice hot pillow joint.
Yeah, that's hot pillow joint. That's right.
Between on the highway between New Iberia and Lafayette.
Yeah, which takes a paragraph to drive, but the, you know, I hopped on Airline Highway and drove to Lafayette. That's a 45-minute drive, Dave. Don't make it sound like you went to 7-Eleven.
I love
out of your district.
My favorites are the one paragraph trips to New Orleans from New Iberia. Those are the better ones.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I just popped down for the day. No, you didn't.
No,
you got like 3 hours of overtime to account for, man. I mean, shit. You're gonna go kill rich people. You better, you know, count for your time.
You're on the clock, man.
The grudge is never on the clock. They blew up my daddy in the oil.
Okay, hold on. We may have a new title. The grudge is never on the clock.
The grudge ain't on the clock, babe. Yeah. The explosive new Dave Robichaux. He'd make a great serial killer. I mean, he's more or less.
Yeah, he kind of is.
Yeah, I'm investigating something from my childhood that has damaged me. Oh, Dave, you a hot ass. Bam, 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 you're a criminal.
You have the right to remain dead.
Bam, bam, bam. That's right. Dave Robichaux is hard boiled cop.
I brought that up for a reason. And I, have you ever read any of the Elvis Cole books, the Robert Crace?
No, you've suggested them, and I no, I've started one, I think, and got sidetracked.
The reason I bring it up is because I picked one up at Half Price Books a while back, and I looked at the list of books, and I went, oh shit, I've missed like three of these. So I binged like four of them in a row, and I was thinking about the sidekicks because he's got one too.
Sure,
his is Joe Pike, and Joe Pike is Cleat with modulation. Truly, I mean, he's like the destructive force, the pulling his fat out of the fire when he gets in over his head, right? But mm-hmm. unlike Cleat, he comes in very controlled, very methodical. He's like his Marine training runs his life rather than his bad habits. So he is like the flip side of Cleat. And I was thinking about it when I was reading these, because they did do a couple of Joe Pike solo books, which worked. So now that made me even more curious as I was thinking about the Cleat book that's coming. I'm like, oh, okay, let's see. Because I feel like I know Cleat better because I know those people.
Sure, absolutely.
But I've lived with Joe Pike for longer because those books have been around longer. So it's weird, you know, I was in this weird headspace. I'm thinking about those two guys being the opposite sides of the same coin. So anyway, there was a partially formed thought in there.
No, I'm curious to see, though, how a Cleat book would play out. Uh-oh, what browser am I in? I've bounced around. There we go. We're back. Like, I can hear everything, but where the hell am I?
So, hey, I got a question for you. Mm-hmm. What's on your desk?
What?
What's on your desk?
The really cool thing that I would display today is actually on my desk at work.
Oh.
It's the I'm tired of trying to make all this, because I was actually working during the wedding, but it's like you got into the hour 8, 9, and 10, and I'm like, I am not getting paid for this. and so I ended up watching a bunch of Japanese anime.
Okay.
So we'll go with what's on my desk is, and I that I've built a couple of these before, is like the Gundam type models.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So I found this one character called the Mazen Kaiser or something like that. He's from the Mazinger cartoons, but this is him. This is the small version.
Oh, wow. That's very cool.
And I mean, it's all a little snap type model. It's articulated. This is one of those where you realize that Japanese, these robots, as cool as they are highly impractical. Where do you keep a sword like this? Oops.
On the floor.
Yeah. and I don't even have like the jetpack on the back that like sticks out like bat wings. And you're like, they all look cool. And with the motion lines and the still shots, they are very cool. But yeah, anyway. So it's like $10 and a little snap type model made by Bandai. Cool as hell.
That's fun.
And I screwed up part of it trying to paint it. So I bought a second one because they're only $10 to do some of like the you've got a panel line, to like highlight some of the panels and stuff like that.
I got you. Sure.
So yeah.
Cool.
But anyway, $10, kind of fun.
Nice. Mine I got for like I got for free.
Oh, cool. What you got?
Lemmy.
Was that one of the boys?
Yeah. I was given Lemmy during the clearance. So
the Pop Rocks stuff like that were some of the coolest designs they did, and especially like that one.
Okay, by the way. He's got the moles.
Yes.
Goddamn moles.
There are like Funko's game line, their anime lines, and some of the music lines are phenomenal. I haven't bought the Sir Mix-a-Lot standing on a butt yet, but I do want to go track that down. And somewhere around here, I've got Flava Flav with the clock and the Viking helmet. Because it's just sort of like, okay, you pull a Lemmy, and it's like, that's a great, great figure. And yet, you know, everybody else is standing in this kind of constipated, I'm trying to squeeze out a dookie kind of pose that all the original pop figures had. So.
Yeah, I'm getting the band together. I've got him. I've got Zappa over here. Nice. And I've got the Coma Doof Warrior. I also got in the fire sale from Fury Road. So I just need a drummer at this point.
There's some Blink 182.
Yeah, I'm good.
Naked. Those are kind of fun. I think they have one of the police naked. Not naked. He's dressed. The Slash. If you can find the Slash figure, it's phenomenal.
I believe... we had one. I don't know if he got, I think he got sold. We had one. Jack had a Ramon and Slash. He had quite the little band going.
I have Slash. I have Jerry Garcia.
Nice.
I like the Jerry Garcia.
Cool, man.
And then, I've got like one of the Biggie Smalls where he's wearing the crown sideways, the cane, the giant ass Timberlines. Timberland shoes. I mean, cool nice. Ass pelt. Yeah, it's a great pelt pop.
Oh
my God, I've lost the ability to speak.
We just lost Instagram. I forgot to think about it. Oh well.
Sorry, fellas.
Oh well. I got something else. I want to say
anything interesting for another 20 minutes.
I have something else I have on my desk that we haven't talked about, and I think we need to talk about it. So hang on all a second. Right. Move all of my micro wrestler bloody figures, the Abdullah, Terry Funk, and Bruiser Brody's out of the way.
Nice.
This guy. We haven't talked about this guy. So this, for those of you watching, is a Steve custom job. And there's a story behind this. Last year when we went to Comic-Con, we had talked about we thought they should make some pops of wrestlers in their masks and suits like the old Lucha movies.
Oh, absolutely. Still do.
Yeah, I agree. And so we started talking about what was available that you could customize because I don't know how to do it, but you do. Mm-hmm. And we talked about the, One Direction? Is that the body? I forgot. Or is it BKB? The BK. Yeah, BKT Killers,
yes,
the Korean the pop guys,
K-pop
right?
Kids, yeah.
So that's the body,
the K-pop body, and then the Hulk Lucha. What the hell was it? It's just Lucha something.
Yeah, they just like it's like a Lucha line, a sort of Lucha-y Marvel characters, right? So
well, and they tried to do it in conjunction with the promotion down in Mexico. AAU or whatever
AAA, that is. AAA, yeah.
Yeah. And they did Marvel-themed wrestlers. So they did a Spider-Man, they did a Wolverine, and they actually made the costumes and everything.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Well, I mean, they made the masks, and, you know, they tried to do that, and I don't think it went well, because I think it was a forced
right
marriage, kind of at a gunpoint sort of a thing. Yeah. But, so that's where we pulled the head off is the Hulk figure.
And it came out better than I think I could have imagined. But I have been meaning to bring this up for quite some time because he does occupy a place of honor on the desk. So.
And we went around that one year to like, all the vendors trying to find the – it's like we found all the K-pop kids except for that one.
Right.
You know, and it's like, okay, I got a line on Hulk. Let's find a K-pop – yeah,
that was the harder piece to find, right? So we wanted to make sure we had that in hand
exactly before we started doing anything else.
Very nicely done, sir. Very nice.
Oh yeah, sometimes the head swaps just work. It's like I've shown the Ted Lasso as the They Live alien.
I love that one, by the way. That's just inspired.
it's cool, and it was fun. I got to try out a new airbrush, which is fun.
I
also used to paint his massive sword. It's Viagra.
It's blue after all. Hello. We should probably have that checked. So I know we did our wrestling chunk, but now we're back on it. And I did something over the weekend I haven't done in years. I watched part of WrestleMania.
Oh, how was it?
It was actually really good. I have been more invested in my casual viewing of the Cody Rhodes storyline than I have anything in a long time. Because I've kind of been following him since he left the first time through his indie run through AEW and back, right? So, and it was funny because I remember back the last time we went to WrestleMania when they had it in Houston, they did a press conference a couple of months in advance of that. Mm-hmm. And David, who you met at the Ring of Honor show, and I went, and we were, and TNA was running a truck around, and for some reason we got on Cody. This is back like years ago, right? And then we just son of a plumber, because he has that little bit of a list. So we're sitting there just riffing on son of a plumber, and now the son of the plumber is the man. He won the title.
Which, by the way, some of the coolest ring gear.
He's on full Homelander.
Yes, and it just works. It's just it's so sharp. Yes, it's full Homelander.
Well, Sunday when he came out, he had, he's got that stupid tattoo on his neck, right?
Right.
And he had the helmet, like he had a helmet made like that skull with a crown on it when he came up out of the bottom, and his wife came out and took the helmet off. And then the Homelander gear had the big, like, stand out eagle epaulets, man. They were like off the shoulder. It was, and I was watching it here, and the boys were watching it in Dallas. And I said, oh, he's going full Homelander. And I got back, is that on purpose? I went, oh, that's definitely on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. Wrestling is not subtle.
Yeah. So there's no tiny strokes or happy accidents.
Oh my God! I'm looking up a photo of him wearing the eagle headed mask.
Isn't that something?
Jesus Christ!
Yes. So he comes. So his entrance is they raise him up from under the stage.
Okay.
So he comes up and there's smoke billowing out underneath. So the first thing you see is that head come up, right, slowly, and then the full Homelander robe with the shoulders and.
Like, that's wow. Intense. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. We even got little scale armor on this.
Yeah. Thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. You're gonna come to the ring wearing 50 pounds of gear.
I think he had to take the mask off so he could see to walk to the ring.
Yeah, I can see that. That there's not a lot of visibility there. Nope. Those eyes aren't lined up right. You're blind man walking.
So he gets his big opportunity. And it's the first night of because it's two nights now, So the first night they had him and Seth Rollins against The Rock and Roman Reigns to determine if it was going to be the title match was going to be fought under bloodline rules, which essentially means no rules, right?
Okay.
So I think it's a kind of a given that's where it's going, right? So the bad guys win. We're fighting under bloodline rules. Things start getting away from Roman Reigns and. And by the way, this is spoilers if you haven't seen it. If you have, I'm just going to talk about it anyway. So then the Samoans start showing up, right? Because the bloodline is all the Samoan guys, right?
Right.
So one shows up, and then another one shows up, and then the good Samoan comes out and fights his brother, and I get this text. I'm having trouble keeping up with all the Samoans because I've raised my children, right? Yeah. I said, well, there's more yet. And about the time I typed that, the Rock's music hits. Because he actually is he's a board member for TKO, which is the company.
Oh, okay.
So he's on the board. So he's the final boss, which I think is great branding, right? He's gone full bad guy Rock again. He's coming out in the Versace shirts and just being a genuine asshole. Brilliant. And he comes out and gets involved. And then John Cena comes out and... I think that's the right order. Anyway, Cena comes out and he gets involved with one of the other Samoans who he has a beef with. And then the lights go out and the bell rings.
Oh,
and the lights come back up and the Undertaker's in the ring standing behind the Rock. And the Rock turns around, gets a choke slam. The lights go out. The Undertaker and the Rock are gone. Because they're, the Undertaker's like 60. He can barely move. And so then Cody ends up winning shortly thereafter. And it was just this schmoz. but it was so much fun. They used the old guys the right way.
Sure.
Right. They did
not as them. The main event. They just and used them as like.
Oh, I forgot one. And Seth Rollins, who I don't know how much you followed in recent years, but he was part of a group called The Shield.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Roman Reigns was also a member of The Shield, right?
Yeah.
And Seth Rollins turned on The Shield. And the defining moment was he hit Roman in the back with a chair. So there comes a moment. Seth Rollins comes out. The Shield music plays. And the place goes nuts, right?
Right.
He comes out dressed in the Shield gear. And gets waffled immediately, just laid out. And then so then Roman Reigns is standing there in the ring holding this steel chair, and he's got Cody on one side trying to get to his feet. He's got Seth Rollins on the other side trying to get to his feet. He's like, he turns around and he hits Seth with the chair, getting payback for this like 10-year-old grudge.
Nice.
Allowing Cody to then hit his finish and win the match. So the whole theme was finish the story was Cody's thing. Uh-huh. So, but the storytelling on this was just perfect. Like, okay, his finish, Roman finishing his story, cost him the belt and allowed Cody to finish his story. And nice. they're actually putting some thought into this shit again. And it's like, oh, okay. All right. Somebody's paying attention.
Yeah. Now that Don McMahon.
Exactly. McMahon. It's not all fart and poop jokes anymore.
No. Stomping around like the degenerate steroid addict that he was.
Right.
So his little pencil thin mustache.
So I was very pleased with that outcome and the storytelling aspect of it. I thought that was very cool. Yeah. So anyway, that's my WrestleMania chunk.
I'm good with it.
Okay.
And that outfit, that ring outfit is off the, I mean, that's insane.
It's so good.
It kind of looks like a Day of the Dead float, really.
Well, here was the other part that I thought was interesting, right? So the first match of the night was Drew McIntyre, who's their Scottish guy, right?
Okay.
Against Seth Rollins, who his normal character is, no one's really sure what the character is, but he always comes out in these like crazy ring attires and the crowd sings along to a song, and it's not really a well-defined character, but it's got him over. So it was kind of like when we went and they did the two lines of John Cena clones for Cena to come out, right?
Yeah, that was fun.
So this was in Philly, so they had like the Scottish, they had bagpipes and guys with, you know, claymore swords and kilts for him to walk out, right, and all that. And then they clear that, and then they cut back for Seth's entrance. And it's the Mummers from Philadelphia. It looks like a Mardi Gras parade on the stage.
Oh, I'm like, looking at that up now too. And it looks like he's Jesse Body's Ventura's wardrobe on steroids.
Yes. So, but there's like all, because that's a thing in Philly.
Oh, wait a minute. Here we go. Holy shit!
There's all these guys with accordions and banjos, and they're all in these like parade float outfits. Just and they're playing his entrance, and he comes out, and then the music actually kicks in as they part for him to come out, and he looks like them, and they follow him to the ring.
This is insane. Oh my God.
It was such a spectacle. And I was like, that is very, because as soon as I saw him, like, oh, they've got the Mummers. That's brilliant for Philly, because it's going to just get a huge Philly response itself, right?
Wow. Oh, good. They're on YouTube, so I'll watch them after.
Okay. Yeah. those are fun. Definitely worth a watch. And I think that's all I got. I think that's everything I wanted to talk about.
All right, so, then.
You got anything else?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Okay. Next week I'll have like a totally, next time I'll have the kick-ass, the Godzilla from Mondo is supposed to be shipping this month.
Oh, I didn't get one of those.
Oh my God. I'm hoping that hits, because that would be, 11 inches of insanity.
Awesome.
It's really weird. It's like I haven't bought a whole lot of Funko Pop stuff. Mondo, owned by Funko, so I'm still in the family. But my other kind of cool thing, my late night, I'm at the wedding, I'm bored, I'm watching, anime stuff. I was like, that's a pretty cool looking robot. Da, 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 da. That's not a bad price. Cling, sold. Then I get it. I'm like, wow, I should... I wasn't drunk, so that's not an excuse, but now I've got this like foot tall vinyl robot. It's very cool figure. I mean, it's like, I'm not like disappointed that I bought it, but it's kind of one of those sort of like, not exactly sure why I bought it.
Right. Yep. It's not remorse. It's confusion.
Yeah, because you can usually do that sort of straight line thinking. I thought that was cool. I like Jesse Hernandez. The dinosaur, you know, Godzilla's cool. Buying that. Got it. I don't know why I bought the robot. I like it. It's kind of fun. It's super deformed and yet it's still a foot tall. It just has a presence. It announces something. Not sure what, but it does say something about me. And yeah, and I'm looking at it when I get it and I'm like, this is cool.
And that's what it says about you.
And what did I do? Why did I get this? I sold some stuff on eBay. I had money in the account. Huh.
There's a cause. There's your straight line right there.
That's a straight line, yeah. Money bought.
Purchase.
Money, boredom, bought.
Bucks, straight line.
Boredom, buying. Yeah, something like that.
All right. Well, I guess that's going to do it for episode 73 of Slurp Toast, a podcast. Mm-hmm. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, hopefully with Godzilla in tow. And I'll have something fresh on my desk by then, I'm sure.
And then, of course, hopefully the Copa Cup, Copa things.
Yes. For those of you who are tuning in tonight, that's on me. I didn't get a chance to pull the images we need. We will definitely do that next time. I will make it a point of getting. Do we want to do all the teams or just the new teams? We're going to do all our selection of teams.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of that because right, there's like, what, 32 or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah. I mean, that's
flipping through them all.
Why don't we do this? Why don't you send me your 10 favorites?
Okay.
I'll do my 10 favorites. If there's overlap, we'll just
cut it down.
Yeah, we'll just do that. How about that?
That's fine.
So we'll do Copa next time. I promise to have the images by then. So I'll give you a deadline to get me your list of 10.
And just off the top of my head, I think we with mariachis
for sure.
Chicharrones.
Well, those are our two favorites. So
those are our two favorites. The chanclas or the chanclas. Those are fun.
The fundadores, I think,
fundadores. Are in there. That's a great one.
I love that. Okay.
We'll stop.
Because we'll be on here for another hour talking about the ones we like. So next time we'll have
images to explain what we like.
Yes, we'll have images so you'll understand what we're talking about. And we'll do our Mr. Blackwell routine again. So until then, I'm still Bruce.
I'm still Steve. Trebuchet.
And Holmes and Yo-Yo. And Holmes we'll see and you Yo-Yo. Next time.
Later, is that kids. What I was going to sign off with? Was Holmes and Yo-Yo?
Yeah. Yeah. We got it. Bye.
Bye.